promises, or are you sitting on the premises? Today we have an individual that you may or may not know. You've probably seen him around. But Kenneth Calvin is on staff here at the church, one of our young men, and he's a Kenneth Calvin Jr.
I am.
Yeah? Okay, but he doesn't go by Jr. Okay. And he is going to come as our, and I'll just let him explain. I will tell you what he does, but I'll let him tell you. And so pray for him, as he is not from this generation. And so he is
I'm behind.
Fighting That's ways. Okay. Yeah. He may be coming into a den of lions, but he's not.
No. I show up to a place like this with something to learn. So, good morning. Y'all doing well? Nice. Yeah. So, as Jim said, my name is Kenneth Calvin Jr. I'm very thankful to be here. It's a pleasure for me. A little bit about me. I grew up in Davis, California. I was born in Sacramento, grew up in Davis, California. That's where I was raised. My background, I kind of always share this. I'm half Italian. All my family's Italian. All the family that I grew up with that I knew, Italian. So my grandpa, he came from Italy, grew up with real strong Catholic roots, big family. But he had 12 kids, and all of his kids moved over into their Baptists. In large part, that's how it went. And so for me, at home, you know, as I grew up, I went to church and everything like that. I had, you know, a lot of witness about who Christ was from my different family members, because they loved the Lord and they wanted to, you know, share who he was with me. And I was very thankful for that. And some songs that always stuck with me was, you know, Jesus Loves the Little Children. You know, it's a sweet song, and it means something different to all of us, I guess, but the words are just the same. But for me, like, my dad wasn't in my life. And so those words really, like, they rung true. And, despite my ups and downs in life, God has shown himself to be abundantly merciful and faithful and good to me, as I'm sure he has for all of you. Also, my wife, she's sitting in the back of the room over there. That's my wife, Devin. And, we were married. She's, you can do a little hand wave or something.
I'm glad you got married.
Yeah, I got married. God bless me. So I was really thankful for that. A little bit about my background. Like I said, I'm married. That's my wife, Devin. I have a son. You've probably seen me around here maybe with him.
Yeah.
His name is Giacomo. He's about 11 months old. And we have another one on the way. Yeah, we have another one on the way. We're really thankful for that. And things are looking like they're going well so far. And so God provides. You know, he's been very good to us. And we'll be looking forward to his arrival maybe sometime in February. A little bit more about me. So I grew up, like, around church. Like I said, like, all my family, Christian, Catholic background, faith was always, like, around me. When I was 15, the years before, I had started going to West Valley Baptist Church in Woodland. Some of my family helped serve over there, and that's how I got acquainted with them, even though I was in Davis. And they were giving me rides to church. My mom would bring me from time to time. But Brother Gerbitz, Pastor Everton, they would pick me up and give me a ride. And we'd go out and knock doors on Saturdays, and I had a great time in the youth groups and everything like that. I got to serve with King's Kids and all the different programs. Then with that, my life came with, like, ups and downs. I've talked about this. So in my role here, I've had the opportunity to serve as the welcome director. That's what I'm doing right now, as the outreach director, and also I've been able to sit as the missions chair. And for whatever reason, God has set these things in my lap, and so I. Very, very thankful for that, and hope that I handle that responsibility very, very well. And with that, when I first came over here, I started as a youth intern. The way that I was introduced to Sun River Church is I was going to City Bible Church. I had friends at Sacramento State College, and they invited me to come over here when they needed help for, I think, winter shelter at the end of 2019 and into 2020. So that's how I first got introduced. Then I met Chris, and they invited me to help out with youth and stuff like that. For whatever reason, they decided to trust me and bring me in. And so I'm sure they were watching me, and they were making sure that everything looked like it was on track. But I've been really thankful to be in and around Sun River Church since that time. And then I really moved into Sun River Church in 2021. when my wife and I got married. Just beforehand, she was at Grace Bible Church. I was at City Bible Church. I proposed to her in December. We got married in February, and we decided to come over here. And so we've been really thankful to be here.
And we're glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So, yeah, God has been abundantly faithful to me. I was baptized. I made a profession of faith when I was 15. I was baptized. I looked like I was running strong for the first time in my life. I ended up in my junior year. I had like a 4.0. I got fit. I was always like a little bit chubby. I got fit. I actually went to my parents and I was like, hey, please let me go to West Valley Baptist Church's Christian school. And my life was just like turning around. I was never really like a bad kid or anything like that, but things were getting better. And then pride comes before fall. I thought I was Mr. Cool, sports and all this different stuff. I played football and, you know, things took a turn. And in hindsight, like reflecting, what I realize is the way that I had come to God when I was young was I knew that God was rich and I knew that he had a lot to offer, but I never came to him as Father. I never, that wasn't something that I recognized was even actually there. And when I would look into the scriptures, I would see commandments. I love Proverbs, I love Psalms, and I would try to get in the New Testament and read all over because I wanted as much as I could get, but it was just really just about me. And when I read the Proverbs, I wanted to be that upright man with the eyes looking straight forward, strong, able to accomplish anything that I set my mind to. But none of it was really for the glory of God. It was to make me, I wanted better at sports, better in school, successful at whatever I was going after at that time. So, years down the road, God opened up my eyes. I always kind of stayed around church. I'm really thankful. I think God was merciful to me. Sometimes when we veer off the track, and maybe none of you have really experienced that, but I definitely have. When people veer off the track, I've seen it in my own family, is some people become very embittered against God. And when you look at their life from afar, you're like, man, you're doing it to yourself. But for whatever reason, when a person gets in the pits, they see it as God did something to me. And so I was really thankful that God never allowed that to come over me. And when I opened up his word again, he opened up my eyes. And for the first time when I was reading, there wasn't like a magical moment. I wasn't like, I'm going to turn back to God now, like something's got to change. I was just kind of like, I ran marathons. I did all this different stuff. I thought, I was pushing really hard, but I really internally didn't feel like I was accomplishing very much. And so when I opened up God's word again, my eyes were opened up. And I realized that the commandments of God, they're for us, they're for me, but they're to bring him glory. And pieces of scripture that really stand out to me that I think would be helpful for people in my generation, which I learned from people like my grandfather. My grandpa's going to turn 92 at the end of this month. He's from Italy, had 12 kids, one wife, came over here when he was 17, stood at attention to Mussolini and Hitler, had to hide his sisters and his mom. They would come when the Nazis were encamped right on where he lived. They'd come and take everything they had. But he actually said that that I think the English were worse in the way that they dealt with the women. But what I learned from my grandpa was duty. He would tell me to do something, but he didn't always explain it. It was just, I said it, so go get it done, right? And so that was I had a lot of lessons to be able to learn from him. But finally, when I opened up my eyes when God opened up my eyes and I was able to see his word more clearly, he calls us his friends and he makes us his son. But we are servants and we are to be soldiers. And this is all his. And so as outreach director, I've had the opportunity. I was already kind of going out and doing this beforehand. I'd go out and we would evangelize. I really started doing this in 2020 when I was going to City Bible Church. I had a group of people to go out with. It kind of helps you feel a little bit more confident in going out. And we would go downtown Sacramento, and we would evangelize and share God's word with people. And then I just happened to stumble across another ministry over in front of Planned Parenthood. And we call it the Sidewalk Ministry. It's not a place to have war. It's not a place where we want to badger people. It's a place where we know there are little ones losing their lives, and people are going there to make bad decisions. And so when I'm out there, what I hope to introduce to people is the perspective that God has on all of this. One, this is all his. It's his creation. We're his creature. And oftentimes a lot of people don't really think about that. It's easy for us to think that we're large and in charge and we call the shots. And really, I know you all know this better than me, but this is just a little bit of my testimony. Really, it's not ours. All the wisdom in the world, every good thing that there is out there, it's all God's. And so we're all blessed by it, even for those who turn away from Him. And so being out there has given me a lot of opportunities to see how God works through His Word, through truth, and His people. When we lift up our voice and we love in obedience in the way that He's called us to love. And that's just one place to do it, right? I had people in my family who witnessed to me as a little kid, and that's just as important. So that's been a little bit about my role as outreach director. On top of that, I'm sure you all have heard about like Powerhouse Ministries and our different missions partners that I'm sure a lot of you know even better than me. But there's a lot of great opportunities to be able to serve in our community. And I think in 2023, Andy's been talking and mentioning it and also prompting me to begin to think about, you know, where should we be headed as a church in supporting our missions around the world as well. And for those of you all in this room, I know that you all have been incredibly faithful. That's why it's also been a blessing to be here at Sun River Church. It's pretty neat to be able to arrive at a place where a lot of you all have been here since the very beginning, and you've been steadfast and faithful. And for me, I wasn't that way. So I'm very thankful for you all, for your steadfastness. That's an incredible testimony of faith throughout all of the ups and downs that we see, just with life, culture, society, in our own families. Everybody has something going on in the background. Some of us love the holidays. Some of us feel broken by them, you know, and there's lots of different things that go into that. So today, that's my testimony. I'm thankful to be here with you. Today we were going to continue on with the lesson in Matthew chapter number 6. We are looking at the Lord's Prayer. I think it's a small passage, and if you want to, you can pull your Bibles, but I'm not going to go too far, and I'll probably point out a few other verses here and there just to make sure I'm staying in line. But I think the way that this all started out for you all, I think I have it right, is the first week of this lesson series, you all addressed the question, is the Lord's Prayer relevant to us? Do I have that right? And what were some of your all takeaways, if anyone's willing to maybe share one or two here and there?
What was the question?
The question is the Lord's Prayer, is it still relevant? And I know that was taught on, and I was wondering, what were some of your takeaways for why the Lord's Prayer is still relevant today?
That was a few weeks ago.
Okay, that's all right. No, that's all right. That's all right. So I won't do a ton of questions. I'll just kind of point at it. Like, we all know the Lord's Prayer is relevant because it's right there in the Bible, right? And as followers of Christ, you know what I mean? It's pretty obvious what we have to do.
Well, it's been relevant for over, what, 2,000 years.
Our Father who art in heaven. Yeah. We know He's...
Yeah.
Our Father is in heaven.
Yeah.
That's relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And He's holy.
For us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, He's waiting for us.
He's training us right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, He's with us. So, yeah, God's Word is relevant. It's relevant to us specifically, too. It's relevant to the whole world. It's relevant to us because we know Christ. And having come to know Christ, we can call on God as our own Father. And for the world, it's also relevant because it's something that they're not familiar with. And for them, there's a calling to them to repent and put their faith in Christ. And to follow Him, because why should anyone miss out? You know, why should we miss out on the goodness of God and what we have to look forward to? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, if Jesus says, pray like this, yeah, I think it's relevant.
Yeah.
It applies to us today. I mean, we have to look at the context of who He was speaking to, who the audience was, you know, what culturally was going on then. But, the human nature being what it is, you know, it still applies to us. We still need to worship God as part of our, you know, spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Thank you. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the context, right? This was in the midst of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching his disciples amongst the crowds, and he's teaching them how to pray. And so, and since then, this same message has reached all the way to us and continues to go throughout the world. And the prayer is loaded, I guess. Could we all say it together? Is that all right? I guess I'll start it off. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's so loaded. Yeah, so there's the context, and then there's the structure of the prayer, and we can format our own prayers just like that. Yeah?
I was just so attracted to the fact that it opens up with the word our.
Yeah.
Not my Father who art in heaven. It's like, it's not saying, oh, Lord, come to me right now. It's our Father. We're a group of people that are working together to accomplish something.
Yeah.
Our Father.
Yeah, through Christ, our Father. And so, that moves right into the second week, right? We hallow God's name, we praise his name, we revere his name, we make his name holy by our life, right? Do not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain, right? He's not just our banner, he is our life, he's our substance. He's where we find every good thing. And so then Andy talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven last week. And I was listening to that, and I had like so many takeaways, and I thought it was really, really strong, and I was thankful for it. But something that he pointed out was the authorial intent that we need to give attention to is in answering, you know, what is the kingdom? How does it come? Thy will be done. What are we asking of God in that? What is our petition to him? Are we petitioning to him so that his will that he had plans already would be carried out? Or I think the question was are we asking God that his will be worked out in us? And so Andy pointed out the two different wills of the Father, which are the will of command and the will of control, right? And so his will of control, we see that playing out every single day, but his will of command is something that we abide in. Right, as Christians, we've been brought from being rebels to being able to be covenant bearers, broken and imperfect, and you know, with all of our ups and downs. But Christ is with us, strengthening us day by day. And on earth as it is in heaven. And so Andy was just pointing out like how this can get really wrong. People, you know, try to usher in and pound out the world from this earth so that we can have it look like heaven, to try to make out some kind of utopia. And I think that's like what the Jews were kind of expecting, is the Messiah would come, and he's going to come in, he's just going to wipe out all the evil, just destroy and plunder everyone. And we know that the Lord will have his day of judgment, and he has had it many times over. But that's not how Christ came. Christ came to introduce the world to heaven, to God, and to give them an opportunity to come and to call on him as Father. And so for each one of us, I like the way that Andy put it. He said that the church is like an embassy or an outpost. And like my brother's in the Navy, right now he's over in Dubai, and he's stationed at an embassy. And so we have these stations all over the world where people get introduced to America, right? And thank goodness, like, God's word is a lot better, and his kingdom is it's far superior, right? But that's what the church actually is. And the church, in another sense, is his body. And so, in Christ, his body was under full submission to the authority of God, willfully. He always sought to do what was pleasing to the Father, and that's a pretty amazing thing. And so we've been by God's Spirit, we're given the ability to follow him and pray for his mercies and his help and his strength to do the very same thing, all for his glory. I think one way to put it is, or one something that's nice to reflect on, is that God does the saving, and we're just here to follow him. and to bring him glory. It's all for his namesake. And that like piece of duty and being a servant or a soldier that I was mentioning earlier that I learned from my grandfather, I think is a good reminder for us young ones that it's not all about us at the center. Salvation is definitely a show of God's incredible love, but the purpose of it isn't just to save us, it brings him glory. And so it's a really amazing thing. So my little piece in moving forward was, give us this day our daily bread. Well, like when we look at that, I thought it was weird in the past when I would read this. It comes off so firm. It's like it's a demand from God. Give us. There's not really like any pleading involved. It's just give us this day our daily bread. And so this petition to the Father for his providence is something that he desires to give. He provides for his plans and for his people because he is sovereign. And so when we come and we ask of him, we're asking in accordance to his will, and he hears our prayers because we are his little children. Oh. I think there's a few seats. When I was writing out all my different notes, and I was thinking about, you know, different ways that I see this like playing out in my life. Something that I've had a lot to learn is I have a son now, and so whenever he like whenever he's hungry, he just cries. Like, and in his cry, I can hear like a little bit of pleading. I can hear like a little bit of demand, and he's also very confident. Like as he continues to get louder, mom and dad are gonna move faster, you know. And so he makes sure, I feel like he's been getting a lot better at this. He's 11 months now, and he's been perfecting his cry so that he gets what he wants right away. And he's obviously very well fed. Sometimes even while we're feeding him, he almost whimpers like right in between. Like he wants another bite so fast, you know. He really loves food. And, yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. And so in the same manner, we can come to God, you know, with everything that he has to offer us. We can call on him, and we can be confident in him, and we can plead to him. I was like, sometimes when I think about my prayers, I'm like, God, give me help. Lord, I'm afraid. Okay, Lord, I feel good right now, but I think I'm going to be afraid later. So please help me during that time too. You know, and then I'll stop and I'll think about just what I'm doing and the fact that God is hearing all of that, which to me is overwhelming. If someone ever came to me with all of that and was just giving me all these different requests, and then at the same time, it's the whole entire world, you know, everyone that knows him, crying out to him. He has attention for all of that, and it's a pretty awesome thing. And so some of the questions that people will often ask is, when it says, give us this day our daily bread, is this a request to God for a...
I take that as direction. In other words, God is directing me in his path. Mm.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
As opposed to something to eat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's spiritual. He feeds us. Yes. Yeah. Who else sees it that way?
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
Here?
No.
No, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, that's the manna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What's your name, ma'am?
Judy.
Judy? Yeah. Okay, Judy. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so Judy was just pointing out how the manna in heaven, in the book of Exodus, right? The people were grumbling and they wanted food and they were like, man, it would be better back in Egypt. And so God said, this next day, I'm going to send you food. And so God provides. That's something that Jesus was constantly pointing out. He has said that I am the bread of life, right? Your fathers, right? They ate the bread and they all died. But anyone who eats of my body or eats of this bread, they will never die.
So when we hear this verse, I tend to latch up first on give and bread. But many years ago, a Christian friend who was watching my life said, it seems to me, Andy, that you are trying to store up enough spirituality to last you until next week. I thought about it and I said, that's a valid accusation. I said, yeah, and he said, do you want to coast? He said, I challenge you to go to the American River and draw out a bucket of water from next week.
Yeah.
He said, you are to ask God today for what you need today. And it's not just bread. It's the strength to deal with stuff,
mm-hmm.
the wisdom to know what to do. It's everything in our lives. But it's today.
Yeah.
Not to coast. He expects us to live hand-to-mouth
yeah.
in our Christian walk.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And right, like Satan, when he tempted Jesus, right, he said he tempted him to turn that stone into a loaf of bread. And Christ's response was, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. And so he didn't say he shall not live by bread at all, but not by bread alone. And Satan, he always wants to meet us, no matter how much truth we hold, with a lie, to try to bring us away from God or draw us away from God, to try to thwart God's plans and his purposes for us, to try to harm us. Right, he's always seeking to kill and destroy, murder and a liar from the beginning, and these are a lot of things that the world does. They really do not understand. Like as we come in contact with the lost world, they are not understanding. I put it this way: I've asked some people the question, and I don't want to get too derailed, but do you know where you are? Right, like, and people look at me like some people like talk about where they're at in their life right now, and other people talk about like where they're at located right now. And what I asked the question because it's really obscure and peculiar. And it's like, this is all God's. And you are walking as a creature within God's creation. He has a plan for it. He holds it all together according to his will. And he has a way that everything works. The blessings of God. To be blessed by God is to be turned from wickedness. That's the true blessing of God. That's what we see in the book of Acts. But also, the blessing of God is also the way that God provides for us, right? So everyone is able to taste of that, but not everybody is able to taste of the bread of life, which turns us from wickedness to a life of righteousness and life and truth. And so that's the beauty of, you know, us here in the church being the outpost, being the embassy. We plant and we continue to move forward. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that was the church. And so it continues to move forward until Christ comes again and he reigns over all of it. And even still, we see his hand moving today. So I like the way that I was trying. I read through all these different commentaries and people had a lot of different like pointed arguments and specifics for why maybe it was like just bread or it wasn't just bread. It was spiritual. And I like the way that R.C. Sproul put it. It was just really simple. Let's see if I can pull this up right. Yeah, exactly. I know. That's what I'm trying to do. R.C. Sproul. Obviously, Jesus was not telling his disciples to pray for bread only. This petition of the Lord's Prayer then teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking him to provide what we need and sustain us from day to day. We are not given license to ask for great riches, but we are encouraged to make our needs known to him, trusting that he will provide. So he kind of didn't really give like a really specific answer, but the bread, when I went to the Vines dictionary and I started looking at like all the different types of bread there are, and there's like, you know, like a loaf of bread that you bake, and then there's like the ceremonial bread, the show bread, and then you have like food. Yeah, yeah. So we just come to Christ and we find life in him. So, and like David was pointing out earlier, our Father. And in this right here, we see, give us this day our bread. It's ours. When we pray to God, we pray as though we have it, without doubting. How you doing?
I wanted to point out that when they were given that manna, it was only to be gathered each day.
Oh.
If they kept it overnight, it would spoil.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty sweet. Yeah, exactly. That is such a great point. And God said that he was testing them in doing that, right? He was seeing if they're going to be obedient and going to follow him and listen to him. And so some people did end up with rotting manna the next day, right? We just have to trust God. And that is incredibly hard to do at times, right? And pretty much all the time. There's always like some way that we're always falling short of God's glory. God knows his perfect plan. He shows us his perfect plan and we don't fully understand it. But we know Christ, and so we continue to rest in that. And I think David, he prayed often that God would be merciful to us, and we definitely really, really need that. Like, be merciful, because there's not enough trying that we could ever do to keep our path straight. And so God is very good. So we talked about how this petition to God, it comes as a demand, but it comes as the way that a little child would put it forward to God. And we see what sort of bread that it's referring to. And we talked about the significance of the bread wrapped into the context of it all. So then I left with a question. I'm kind of always thinking like, okay, like what do we do with this, right? I know that John Vernon McGee, this series that he put together, his hope was that we would pray fervently, intently, go to the Lord and seek Him. It's a lot of things can be said about our prayer life. For me, I've noticed that I need to improve and be more specific. Sometimes I'm afraid to come to God with all the specifics. Like, maybe it's a little bit of feeling unworthy and also a little bit embarrassed. You know, I'm like, ah, that's probably not going to happen. Just don't ask. But maybe there's something that I need to learn there. You know, all right, Lord, I put it before you. You said no. What instead? Right? Because God gives wisdom. If we ask, we receive. If we seek, you know, we find. And as we knock, He'll open it up to us. And His promises are sure. That's the best thing about God is how faithful He is. There's a lot of best things about God. But a question that I had for you all, and we could kind of pass it around the room. Here's my question. What ways is God using you to glorify His name in the lost world and to the saints around you?
One more time?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. What ways is God using you to glorify Himself in the lost world and amongst the saints, among the congregation? How is God using you today? As we call on Him for bread and for His life, how is He using you? It's a sincere question. I mean, I could start guessing, you know.
I just keep being impressed with God, that God keeps reminding me how important relationships are, community, and just to get out there. And you know, it's always easy to put off maybe helping others or going over to my neighbor or whatever. So just, you know, that's where He's working on me, I think.
Yeah.
Just reaching out to others. And, so I was able to like, take some pumpkin bread to a couple of neighbors and finally, like, my chair, walk across the street, knock on the door, you know.
Yeah, that's sweet. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I try to leave people smiling or laughing, and also I give people hugs too.
Mm.
And what this does, a lot of people today are looking down instead of up, and if you can change their thinking just a little bit, you know, more positive, I think
they're
more open to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And Doug, I think seeing the joy of the Lord in you, you know, that's God's glory.
Yeah, it's always an encouragement to me and my wife. We love bumping into you. Seriously. No, seriously. It really is. I'm thankful.
I like sharing my faith with the children,
mm-hmm.
teaching Sunday school, and seeing the smiles on their faces as they learn about Jesus and how to pray. And
yeah, that's pretty.
She's
yeah.
basically a nice person. I married her.
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
I try to always interact with like a store or the cashier or.
Yeah.
Always find out what's your name. How are you doing today? Hope you have a good time when you get off work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it just makes somebody smile. So most of the time, they're very receptive.
Yeah. Yeah, they see you're different. I worked at Nugget Markets for like 11 years, and I'm really thankful that there's people who come in that, like with that sort of disposition. I worked in like management. I worked all over, but working with people a lot, it's really nice. You do. The people who work at stores, they definitely get familiar with who shops there, and people talk a lot. And so that's enough said. Was someone else? Oh.
I just came back from a week of being with my family, and my brother is not saved.
Mm.
So just being very purposeful that I make sure he hears the gospel again from my lips and
yeah.
sees it in me. And then I'm blessed to be a Christian. Christian school teacher, and so there's such a joy in talking of creation, fall, redemption, and weaving that into everything I teach, calling these young people to see the gospel.
Yeah.
And I've been coming to this church about 3 months, so just being practical, I have a goal every Sunday to meet 3 people that I've never met before.
That's pretty good.
The theme is belong, and so I'm trying to understand the belong and just be a part of being friendly. I think that's important as a body of Christ that we know one another.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, being intentional. The difference between us and Christ, we have to be intentional to follow Him.
There's a little food cabinet in front of a home on Aramont, and that's a few blocks also a mile from me. But in preparing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and other food staples that I could put in that little food cabinet, I just pray as I'm providing them that they are not just going to it. If school kids need that too, whatever. And I need to reach out to the little family. I was going to make a Thanksgiving card, but just the fact that the family chooses to have that in front of their home, I think is really good.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. Yeah, I think the generosity at this church, it definitely, like, shows. I know that Sun River Church has, like, a deep history of serving the community and is, like, well-known for that. And since I've been involved with missions and things like that, I can definitely see how generously you all give. Just the amount that's able to, the amount that you all, like, tithe and give that's able to support missionaries all over the world and locally, that's massive. All of us are given different gifts, different abilities, and so, yeah, there's ways that we help make Christ known day to day, and also that works through us as we support other saints on their mission, and so it's definitely really sweet.
About 5 years ago, we felt God's call that I would serve part-time on staff as a volunteer. And in my role as lay pastor, I seek to bring comfort and encouragement to people who are going through hard times. And that's kind of what we signed up for, and I'm grateful to be able to do that just about every week. But the surprise came that once I took that position on, God has given me a kind of boldness. Those of you who know me know I'm not particularly timid. But I also believe in evangelism. But God has opened up so many opportunities outside Sun River Church in my day-to-day work world. So I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I can do planting of seed, watering, cultivating for the next person who meets that pre-Christian individual.
Yeah.
So that's hugely exciting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That's really neat. Yeah. I think about, like, even, like, with my wife, like, she's raising our son, and that's, like, that's such a big role that God gives us, such a big responsibility amongst all the other things that she does. And so that's, I'm sure a lot of you have raised children and things like that, and then you send them out into the world, and so there's lots of different ways that God works through us. I guess, like, in closing, one of the questions that I had was, why come to God in prayer? And then I just had a list of verses, right? 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God of our salvation. Philippians 4:5-7, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Something else that was kind of opened up to me was every word of God comes with promise. And that's a sweet thing for us to be able to feast on as we think about the life of Christ and long to see Him work in us. So I think that's it for the message today. I have to close out a little bit earlier today because I'm going to be headed over there for Welcome Director. But, Jim, if you would please, sir, if you would pray for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, keep
in mind. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I have things to plan for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just thinking about that question. It was a serious question. And I thought it was interesting from my perspective as I sat back and listened that there wasn't a lot of sharing. When he asked the question, what are you doing or how are you involved in your life for providing bread for others? And there wasn't a lot of individuals just jumping up and sharing. Which tells me that especially as we get older, we have a tendency to say, I did that, now it's someone else's turn. And we all have a responsibility. And I was thinking about my own life. With my situation, I think I would ask God to give me wisdom in the opportunities that come our way. Why I say that is that you're always talking. Someone mentioned at this grocery store or the clerk or wherever. And I always watch for opportunities to say something. And frankly, one of the opportunities that God allows me is the sad opportunity that comes because I lost my wife. And because of that, there's a many of an opportunity, I would say, how are you? They always, you know, how everyone says, how are you doing? Well, this is tough during this season of the year because I lost my wife 18 months, 19 months ago. But I said, I know where she is, and I know I'm going to see her again. And then I was sitting at the airport. And guys all around, this comes up, so that's what I was doing in Portland Airport this week. And I said, you know, there's not a single one of us sitting here that's going to get out of this life alive. So what we're going to do is, this is time for us to prepare. Time to be ready. And it all comes because of an opportunity that came up because of a statement that I lost my wife. So I just trust God to give each of us wisdom for those opportunities that open a door. Don't be afraid to step through. That's where the Spirit of God comes in. You say, oh, I don't know what to say. What if they ask me? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you the opportunities, and he gives you the words or the sharing of time. So don't be afraid. The second thing in my own life, and so I waited, didn't say anything at that time, is that as a minister, I do a lot of funerals. In fact, I've got two coming up. I have one this coming Wednesday, and I have another one the following Monday. None of them that I know, they're not from our church. And so I have an opportunity to share, not always just at the funeral service, but at all the time before when you're talking with the family. Opportunities. God, give us that opportunity. And I was thinking also, give us this day our daily bread. And then Kenneth did so much, he was talking about the manna. Someone else mentioned it. I thought it was interesting that, you remember the story in the manna that was given to him? It was not good the next day, was it?
Right.
So that word daily is something that we need to do on a daily basis. And it's not just bread, just not just food, as Kenneth pointed out. It's for life, for living. Each day, daily. And we all have our own responsibilities. And Don Carper back here, he didn't say anything, but how many are on his mailing list with prayer requests? See? That's something that he is doing, that is sharing that time. Thank you all for coming so faithfully at 9 o'clock, and I trust that you will continue to grow, not only from study of God's Word, but you'll need to grow as in a relationship with one another. This is the family of God, you know that, right? And together we serve. Together we ask for daily direction in our life. Next week, by the way, John, I was just thinking I shouldn't mention this before I pray. John Loki is going to be here. So, for Kenneth and for John, as well as some of the others, this is new experiences for them. So, and I asked him, he's not here now, but he was a little bit nervous. And so I said, why don't you, a lot of people may not know you, so that's why he took a considerable amount of time at the beginning to explain who he is and his background. So, thank him for that. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now with your blessing as we go into a corporate worship. And Lord, we ask that you might be honored and glorified in our life, and on a daily basis, that you might give us opportunities and the doors to see the doors that are open and be willing to step through by the Spirit of God to share. Lord, you're the one that converts. We are only your messenger. We are only the witness that tells what we know and what has happened to us. But you're the one that changes lives. So God, we depend upon you and the Spirit of God flowing through us. We pray that as vessels that you have, that our vessels may be clean enough that the Word of God that pours through us will not be defiled by the life that we have. So God, protect us and direct us and give us your peace as we serve you together. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Have a good afternoon.